Welcome to the DB Media Podcast. So we do have some more movie news here, and we do have five movies to be reviewing. We have the new streaming, or the new movie that's streaming on Amazon Prime, Brothers. And then we have
Unforgiven, Quick and the Dead, Last of the Mohicans, and Outlaw Josie Wales. All of these reviews have been posted to our letterbox, link in the description.
Yep, and these movies were picked by our fathers.
Yep, so. I love you, Daddy.
So let's see whose dad picked the better movies.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. all of them are pretty good. But for one, we'll start with movie news. So, the first article comes from IGN. It was posted November the 1st of 24. It is the first look of the new Pooniverse, I guess is what they're calling it. The whole universe around Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. It is Pinocchio Unstrung. Have you seen the pictures?
I've seen some of the pictures. The doll looks pretty stupid.
Doll does look pretty stupid. I shouldn't say it looks pretty stupid because it does look cool, but I think the whole universe is dumb, but it's dumb in a good way.
You know, yeah, that's the attraction of it. It's dumb scary.
But yes, that is the attraction. But you gotta admit, did you see the video with the puppet too?
No, I ain't seen the video.
It's done practically. It's no CGI. And all of the facial features move, and it's kind of like a real puppeteer behind it.
Like, so it's like a marionette.
Yeah, it's an animatronic.
Oh.
But it has like facial expressions that look amazing. I'll try to include some pictures for that. If I did, you'll be hearing this. If I didn't, I'm going to cut this part out. But other than it being part of the Winnie the Pooh universe, and I love the Winnie the Pooh movies. I know you're not big on them. I loved Winnie the Pooh, too. I thought the first one was a fun time.
I will say that it is one of those stupid movies that I enjoy to watch. I will never give these movies a high rating.
I gave Winnie the Pooh 2. Stars.
No, I'll never give these movies a high rating, but I do enjoy watching how stupid they are.
They are fun, but this one wins like tremendously because it has Robert Englund attached to it. I don't know if it said he'd be voicing Pinocchio who he'll be voicing, but to have a horror icon like Robert Englund involved in it.
Yeah. I want a real body, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Goes full Freddy Krueger on him. I'm excited to see that. But not just Robert Englund, it has Richard Blake.
Who's that?
So, are you big with Rob Zombie movies at all?
Not in particular, no.
Okay, Rob Zombie is one of my favorite horror creators.
Yeah.
I mean, House of Thousand Corpses, you know what I mean? Richard Blake pops up in a lot of his movies. I mean, he's in like 31. He's in a few others. I can't think of the name off the top of my head right now. I think he's in the Halloween movies, but he is a continuous like Rob Zombie collaborator, and I am for that. Like I said, the video of the doll movie was awesome. I do have here that Todd Masters is the special effects guy behind it. He was the special effects included in the Child's Play and Dune Part 2. That's why the puppet's going to look so great.
Okay, yeah.
Because he does have some solid credits behind him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so he's attached to the Pinocchio.
Yeah, not Pokemon. Yeah, no. Yeah, but
gotta catch him.
I'm looking forward to it, and then they have the Bambi movie coming out, but we'll talk more about that when that time gets closer. Yep. You have some movie news, or
I have a little bit here. I don't have much. The only reason I'm reporting on this, I got all this from IMDb. The only reason I'm reporting on this is because Avatar 3, 4, and 5. I know earlier you told me your wife likes the Avatar movies.
Yep.
That is the only person that I know of that enjoys these movies. I know the first one was top of the box office for years.
That's just because it had good effects.
But I don't understand how it continued to make so much money. Because I've never met anybody that actually enjoys these movies.
No, I agree. I can't think of anyone talking about it because I don't enjoy them. I mean, I know you don't.
No.
I think they're kind of dumb. We might get crap for that, but
yeah.
I mean, they're just not my cup of tea. And I love, like, science fiction, you know, sci-fi, stuff like that. But
yeah.
Anything else really do with that?
I do have one more piece of news.
Go for it.
Again, this is something from IMDb. Mm-hmm. They haven't given a release date for it, but they're making an American Pie 5. Sweet. With the original cast. Jim, the whole crew comes back for the holidays in Las Vegas.
Stifler?
Yeah, Jim and the crew.
Sweet.
So I'm really excited about that because I love the original. I don't care too much for the spinoff American Pie movies, but I love the originals.
The spinoffs are all right. The Naked Mile was comedic gold.
Yeah, that's probably the best one.
Yeah.
Or Beta House.
Beta House is good. Band Camp was pretty good.
I didn't care for Band Camp. Yeah. I didn't care for any of them after Beta House.
That might be the next movie series I do a review on our TikTok.
Okay.
But to have them come back, you said, for the holiday season?
It just says, the description just said Jim and the crew come back for, get together for the holidays and get into some trouble in Las Vegas.
That's awesome. I would absolutely love to see the whole American Pie crew in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That seems like their environment.
Yeah, I don't know how this movie is going to work because the last couple of movies were made before everything got real woke.
Yeah, I know. Listen to me. Do not wokeify American Pie.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
No.
Like, that's the worst way they could handle this.
Yeah.
I don't think they will, though.
I don't think they will either.
There's very, very few properties out there that will not allow it. And I think that'll be one of them.
Yeah. And, all right, so you ready to jump into the reviews?
Not yet. I do have one or two more articles
here. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So this one comes from bloodydisgusting.com. Outlast movie. You play the Outlast games?
Outlast.
The horror games with the camcorder?
Oh, no, I've watched people play them online.
They have announced an Outlast movie adaptation, and it is announced at Lionsgate, which is the home of Saw, Strangers, and Imaginary.
Okay.
So, that'll be fun. That was great.
I know Saw. That's about it.
Huh?
I know Saw. That's about it.
Yeah. I watched the original Strangers. I didn't watch the new one. But I did watch Imaginary. Imaginary was trash. I know some people like it. It's trash for me. So, the lead in the adaptation is Roy Lee. And his credits include It, Barbarian, and Late Night with the Devil.
Which It?
I don't know. I didn't get it. It just said It on the article. Mm-hmm. No. Either one is good for me. And hold on 1 second. So the last little bit, or there's two more things I want to talk about before we move on. There is a new, this comes from Deadline.com. This was on 11/1/24 as well. Amazon, MGM Studios, announced a new movie with Tom Holland and Austin Butler. And it is a true story. It is called American Speed, and it is based on the true story of the Whittington brothers, three historically famous race car drivers, who were involved in, like, different scandals and, like, drug smuggling and, you know, tax evasion, stuff like that.
Yeah. And Austin Butler, he's that guy who just played Elvis not too long ago.
Yes, he was in the Bike Riders and everything.
Yep.
So I'm looking forward to that. And Amazon usually, MGM, they make hits or misses. So anything with Tom Holland, though, and Austin Butler, I'm for both of them.
Yeah.
So last piece of movie news that I got here that I really want to discuss. There's a new slasher coming out for Valentine's Day. It is from the producers of Scream. It is called Hard Eyes.
What's that?
Okay, so they released a teaser trailer, and it just shows a slasher with this mask on that has hard eyes, and he's going around killing teens that are getting it on during Valentine's Day. I think it has very, very strong credits because it produces a Scream. One of my favorite horror properties. The teaser trailer had an amazing kill in it, and if they're going to show a good kill on the teaser trailer, I'm excited for the movie. You know, the star tire changing thing, the, you know, the wrench or whatever.
Yeah.
Takes it and puts it through a guy's mouth when they're getting it on, and this girl jumps back and, like, freaks out, and he grabs the back of her head and slams her head down on it and pops a hole in the back of her head.
That's something about movie trailers that kind of like steer me away from it. Because if like they're show if they're showing like really big scenes, like what seems like really big scenes in the movies, that's probably one of their best scenes.
Yeah, no, it gets me more excited because I'm like, if they're going to show me this now, they have to top it.
I've been duped too many times for me to be excited about it. I was like, I guess that's going to be the movie.
Fair. So this movie is going to start. It does have some stars already attached to it. First one being Olivia Holt. She was in Totally Killer, which is a slasher movie. I did a small review for it on that on our TikTok. You didn't watch that, did you?
No.
Yeah, you're not a horror guy.
You say that every episode.
Yeah, I know. Because I want to talk to you about horror, but I know you're not a horror dude. It's all good. All good. It also stars Mason Gooding. He was in Scream 4 and 5, so I was coming back to work with those guys. And Jordana Brewster, Mia from Fast and Furious. So I'm excited about this. I'm excited about all that. That's all the movie news I got. All
right. So, you want to do Brothers first?
Well, you can jump right into Brothers.
All right.
Before we review it, what's your rating?
3 out of 5.
Same. Three out of five.
Okay. So, anything you want to start with on it?
Sure. I think this movie is very funny. Oh, okay. Not very, but it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, was a strong word.
Yeah, very is a strong word.
The chemistry between Peter Dinklage and Josh Brolin.
Oh yeah,
it's fantastic. I thought it was great.
Yeah, they did have good chemistry, and it is. I've never thought of this before until I seen this movie, and like they look like they could legitimately be brothers,
don't they? Though,
yeah,
like. And if you're going to portray two characters as brothers or as friends, you want them to have good chemistry.
Yeah.
And it's very apparent in this movie that they do. I really appreciated that.
In the movie, they don't have good chemistry. But you can tell the actors have good
chemistry. That's what I mean, yeah. Yeah. Because they're supposed to play it. So we'll give a little rundown about the movie. We should do this about before every movie, like a little tiny rundown of it.
Okay. So one of the brothers, Peter Dinklage, goes to jail. And his older brother, Josh Brolin, gets off scot-free. And a couple of years later, Peter Dinklage gets out, and he wants Josh Brolin's help to steal something else.
Yep, pretty much it. And he lies to him to get his help. And it's a whole big adventure from there. It's a great premise for a movie.
Yeah.
The only problem I got with some of it, the jokes don't land for me. In the beginning.
Yeah.
The first half and the second half of this movie is like daylight and dark.
Yeah.
First half, if the whole movie was like the first half, I wouldn't have watched it. I wouldn't have thought it was funny.
Yeah. Before we go any further, my warning spoilers ahead for this. Because this is a fairly new movie.
Yeah, a couple weeks. But I think anyone who's seen it, but yeah, spoilers ahead. We're not doing spoiler free for this one. The jokes don't land for me, and like I said, first half bad, second half good. What do you think about this movie?
It feels like it keeps the same pace right up until the end.
Yep.
Like,
feels like they had to have a finale for the end for this movie to be good.
Yeah. The funniest part about this movie was the monkey rape.
Yep.
The monkey rape.
Monkey raped him.
It didn't full on rape him. The monkey just
forced a hand job out.
Yeah,
of him.
It forced a just a little.
Still, that was a rape.
Yeah, that monkey knew what he was doing.
That monkey knew exactly what he was doing. Now that was one of the funniest scenes in the movie.
Yeah. Josh Brolin. They go to a woman's house, and unbeknownst to either of the brothers, while Peter Dinklage goes in the back room with the other woman, Josh Brolin is sitting on the couch, and then a big giant orangutan comes out and starts signing to him. And Josh Brolin, with very little knowledge of sign language, is trying to sign to him. And then it just gets up and sits down right beside him on the couch.
It eats a joint.
Yeah, and eats a joint. And then grabs Josh Brolin's hand and just starts making him go to town.
That was one of the funniest things in the movie. What I didn't like, I thought it was very just abrupt for this to happen in the movie. Whenever they get to the hotel and he finds the mom's letters that he's been writing. It was just so weird for him to have, like, it wasn't weird for him to storm out, but it was weird for him to storm out and then his mom be right there.
Well, that's the thing. It was planned.
That just felt so abrupt and forced to me. Like, they were trying to bring her into the, like, I know they're going to bring her in, but, like, just that scene felt a little
rushed.
A little rushed. Not organic. Make sense?
Yeah. I don't feel that way because, Peter Dinklage had been corresponding with the mom for a while now. Mind you, the mom had left when they was 15. And they had never seen or talked to her again. But the last few months while Peter Dinklage was in prison, she was writing him letters.
Yep.
She left because she stole some jewels and was running from the law.
Yep. She left when they were like 15, 16.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah. So one scene, though, that was really funny was the bulldozer scene. When they dug up the body and they were like running from the golf cart.
Yeah.
So they dug up the body because this guy swallowed the jewels that they were looking for. And they had to go and dig his body up and find it in his stomach. And he's in the bucket of this bulldozer as they're driving down a golf course with freaking golf carts chasing them.
Yeah.
And they're throwing golf balls at him. And one of the guys screams, "Is that a cadaver?" That was so funny.
The mom just seemed like a terrible person. I knew as soon as she was introduced, I was like, okay, she's going to betray them.
100%.
But she was, I noticed that she constantly was wearing gloves. I don't know what the reason for that was. It never revealed that in the movie, but she was always wearing gloves, and I thought that was going to have something to do with her betraying them, like she's going to get their fingerprints but not have hers.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that either. It could just be like an actor. Like, some actors wear gloves now, like especially older actors, because they have like skin cancer and stuff.
Yeah,
like Morgan Freeman used to do that in his newer movies.
Yeah, I don't know why she did it, but I thought that was going to be one of the reasons she betrayed him. But no, she just flat out ran off on him again.
Yeah, she just was out. Like, yeah, it's funny. I will say this: one of the best additions to this movie is Brandon Fraser.
Yeah.
Bring this man back to Hollywood. He's proven time and time again he deserves a place in Hollywood. Like,
I don't think it's necessarily Hollywood. I think he's taking his time to dip back into it.
Because he after failure of movies, which I haven't seen the movies that you said that you were telling me earlier that was failures for him. The only one I saw was The Mummy.
Yeah, the third Mummy.
Yeah, The Third Mummy. And one of my favorite Mummy movies. I love that movie. But
the first two were better.
First two were better, but just because it wasn't as good as the first one doesn't mean it wasn't a good movie.
Yeah, but you said it was your favorite Mummy movie.
I said one of, like, it's better. I think it's better than the second one. No, take it back. Second one's the best, then the third, then the first. The second one's the one where she has the bracelets that are going to kill her, right? That one's my favorite.
I can't remember.
Yeah. But I might review those ones. But Brandon Fraser in this movie, like, he's fresh off of I don't know if he got an Oscar nominee or an Oscar win for The Whale, but he's, like, fresh off of either an Oscar nominee or a win.
He's had other movies since then.
Has he?
Yeah, he's appeared. He plays the robot in Doom Patrol and everything.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He's done other stuff. Like I said, he's slowly coming back. Right.
I just want to mention
that. But that is something else. I don't want to see a sequel to this movie, but I would like to have a spinoff of Brendan Fraser's character.
Oh, yeah. Like, if they just done, like, maybe a limited series or his own movie.
Yeah, his own movie.
I agree. And, like, maybe he's, like, in another shenanigan with another convict.
What I want is his piece of shit dad. I want his dad to, like, leave him like a Brewster's Millions challenge or something. Not exactly a Brewster's Millions challenge, but like a challenge for him to inherit the will.
We have to review Brewster's Millions. That has been on my list forever, and I haven't watched it yet.
I love that movie. It's hilarious. I've not
seen it yet, and I want to watch it so bad. Right,
before we get off topic.
we'll have millions of branch conversations before we know. We'll be done by aliens. I'm good with that. Or wait, the ending. Let's talk about the ending. Like, it was kind of like over the top for him to show up with a shotgun in the mall. But it was funny. Like,
I kind of expected that. I mean, they beat him to death and left him on the side of the road. I'd be pretty angry too.
I'm done with this movie. You are. Unless you got anything else.
Nah, I'm good on that.
Solid 3 out of 5 for both of us. It was a good movie.
Yep. All right. What do you want to go over next?
Josie Wales?
No, that's probably it's probably my best one. So okay. Let's go over Last of the Mohicans, because I don't have much on it. Because
works for me. I don't think I have a lot on Last of the Mohicans either. Before we rate it, or before we talk about it, rate it.
I think I gave it a 3.5 out of 5, or a 4 out of 5.
I gave it 3.5.
Yeah. Can't remember exactly. It's a good movie. It's got a good story behind it. It just doesn't pick up.
I agree.
Hardly until like right at the very end.
I agree. It's definitely a slow burn.
Yeah.
If you like Indians and you like not Indians, but I'm talking about like the Indian time period. You like this old like Indian time period.
It's based during the French and Indian War.
Right. And if you like that kind of stuff, movies revolving around old wars like that, this is a movie for you.
Yeah.
Like I definitely see the appeal, and I liked it. I'm not knocking the movie. I thought it was really good, but like you said, it's a slow burn. Like, you have to be invested. You have to enjoy everything you're seeing. But other than it being a slow burn, it does have a lot of positives.
Yeah.
Like,
The movie didn't pick up for me until they was leaving the fort and they got ambushed.
Yeah.
Like, from then on, the movie's really good, but you got like 30 minutes of the movie left.
Right.
That's probably like, that's really the only time when the movie gets good. I did notice, you said you noticed one, but I noticed something else. When they're running in the canoes and they go down that waterfall, it's like a big, like 20, 30 foot waterfall. And it shows them. And getting ready to go down this waterfall, and it just cuts to like them in a little water going down a little waterfall, and it's like floop.
Yeah,
they should have like been.
Yeah, no, that was funny. I did. Yes, I noticed one as well. Whenever they are surrendering to the French general, if you look in the top left, like a corner of the thing, you can see buses. Like modern day buses from like the movie set. It's hilarious. And I noticed it immediately.
I didn't see that one. So.
Yeah, you had to go back and look at it when you get a chance. It's really funny. Right. The action in this was solid, I thought. Like the fight scenes it did have,
yeah,
I really appreciated. I thought one of the funniest parts of the movie was the bad Indian. I can't remember his name. I don't want to say Mogwai, but.
It was something like Mogwai.
Yeah. We'll call him M, but whatever. So like M is like leading the British troops, and he starts insulting them in his native language.
Yeah,
thought that was really funny. The story, like I said, it goes everywhere in every direction. One thing that I am a sucker for good cinematography. If it has beautiful shots, like beautiful landscapes, beautiful everything, I'm a sucker for that. And this movie has it.
Yeah.
The waterfall scene like sets the tone for that for the rest of the movie.
Yeah,
I think it's beautiful. The landscaping, like there's landscaping scenes. Like there's a scene where they're going across a bridge, and it's like a shot.
Oh yeah, that bridge.
Beautiful. Like I love good cinematography. So this was actually filmed near Cherokee, North Carolina, and my family takes an annual fishing trip there every year. So I've seen a lot of these places firsthand where it was...
You going to try and find that bridge next time?
Yes, sir. I'm going to take a picture on it and put it on one of our social medias. Choosing the scene where she's like, you need to bury your friends. And he's that was really smart. Because he was like, it'll make it easier for them to track us if we bury them.
Yeah.
Thought that was pretty cool. Was the bad guy, was M justified? He's a little justified.
Sort of. I think he took it too far.
He did take it too far, but you let someone kill your family and see if you don't want to kill their entire bloodline.
Like, I understand. Like, I'm not saying I don't understand him. Like, but his kids didn't do nothing wrong.
Yeah, but if them kids, you know what I'm saying? The younger brother getting killed at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I expected that, but didn't expect it.
I expected him to get killed. I didn't expect him to get killed, like, so effortlessly.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he put much of a fight against Magua.
Right, yeah. Like, and you've seen him fight earlier, and he was a really good fighter. But now that he's fighting the main bad guy.
Yeah, and then for his dad to just come in and just dispose of him.
His dad, like, single-handedly took out that war party, basically. Yeah. Yeah. No, solid movie, I thought. Like I said, slow burn, but sometimes slow burn's what you need.
So something else. It's called The Last of the Mohicans, but the movie is centered around a white guy raised as a Mohican.
Right.
But his dad is, his adoptive father is really the last of the Mohicans.
Right. Yeah, that is funny. Yeah, anything else you want to say about it?
His love interest, Daniel Day-Lewis's love interest, her sister died. They both lost a sibling and everything that day.
Her sister just commits suicide.
I kind of don't blame her because they're going to take her to another village and burn her there.
Yeah, but she'd have waited 5 minutes. Not 5 minutes, she waited 2 minutes. She'd have been rescued. That's kind of like The Mist.
Yeah. Let's not get off topic
here. We're going to be reviewing The Mist one of these days. Yeah. And how bad that ending was. What movie you want to do next?
I wouldn't say it was a bad ending.
Someone who read the book, that was a bad ending. The book's ending's better.
All right. We can do... we'll do Unforgiven.
Okay.
Or do you want to do Quick and the Dead first?
It is 100% for you.
All right. I'll go over Quick and the Dead because I rated it the lowest.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick with you about that, because it shouldn't have been as low as you gave it. What did you give it, 2?
2 out of 5.
You're a bad person.
No, it's not the story or anything. Well, it's kind of the story. Kind of hard to keep me interested, especially in like weird competition movies. Mm-hmm. What threw me off, I feel like the movie would have been a lot better if somebody else had directed it. It had a very Wild Wild West feel to it, and I didn't like that. Because I felt the way the movie was filmed, some stuff was unrealistic, and I feel like it should have taken a more unrealistic turn or took some of that back.
Fair. I get you. It did have some I have noted here that there is a lot of unrealistic parts in the movie.
Yeah.
So this movie follows a girl who is going after her father's killer, and she enters a quick draw contest that her father's killer enters, and she's hoping that she can challenge him and kill him.
Yep.
And she just kind of, it just takes place in the town and follows all the contestants. It's good.
One thing I will give this movie props for is the female protagonist. Like, this is one of the very few movies that does a good female protagonist.
Yep.
Like, action female protagonist, right. I should say.
Well, normally when an action female protagonist comes out, it's all about, like, women empowerment stuff.
Yeah. Like, she is just straight out a badass.
Yeah, she's straight up, like... She's like Clint Eastwood in this, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, she, no, if somebody, like, people, like, I'm not going to say that people don't, like, make sexist remarks or nothing to her, because they do throughout the movie.
Right.
But she's not like, I can do this too because I'm a girl. No, she just fucking does it.
Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah, she does not put up an argument. She's like, oh yeah, let me just.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when the guy was sleeping with the young girl.
Yeah.
She goes in there and beats the tar out of him.
Yeah, she just mollywhopped him right in the mouth.
Yeah, no, that's good. I will say this movie had a very strong opening. Like, I really liked the opening of. Did you know that was Tobin Bell?
Tobin, who's that?
Jigsaw.
Oh, no, I
didn't. The guy in the opening was Jigsaw.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because he had a credit in the beginning that said Tobin Bell, and I was like. And I watched the entire movie and didn't see him, so I went back and I Googled it and everything. It was like, yeah, he's the guy at the beginning. I was like, what?
Wasted an actor.
Yeah, I was like, you wasted an actor? Like,
speaking of actors, we got two movies with Gene Hackman in it. And I absolutely love Gene Hackman in everything.
And he plays the bad guy in both of them.
Yeah, he's the bad guy. I wouldn't say he's a bad guy in Unforgiven.
We'll talk about that during Unforgiven. Yeah. But he's definitely the bad guy in The Quick and the Dead.
No. But the reason I say Sam Raimi, like it would have been a better movie if somebody else had directed it. Sam Raimi just mainly does unrealistic stuff.
Sam Raimi, I love Sam Raimi. I'm a big Sam Raimi fan, but that's because I'm a horror fan.
Yeah, he makes horror movies. He makes unrealistic stuff.
Sam Raimi mainly does horror. He done Spider-Man, of course. But even when he done Multiverse of Madness,
yeah,
you can see the horror elements in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah.
Very apparent there. I wouldn't say he needs to stick to one genre, but he does one genre better than the others.
Yeah, I would just say he just needs to stay away from Westerns.
He does. I liked The Quick and the Dead. I was significantly higher on than you was. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
I just don't feel like his signature close shots where it just zooms in on their face and the background's moving and everything. I don't feel like that fit the movie.
No, I agree with that. It didn't. Like you said, that is a signature Sam Raimi shot. And there are plenty of that in this.
It's in Evil Dead, Spider-Man. It's in almost all of his movies.
And it fits Evil Dead, Spider-Man, and all the rest. It does not fit this one. I agree with that. The main character for me, I thought she was a cool protagonist, and she was sort of likable. They didn't make her likable through the entire movie, except for whenever they, towards the end, whenever they gave her that flashback.
Yeah.
Whenever they gave her a flashback about how she's the one who shot her dad. Because, like, he was being hung and she tried to shoot the rope and she was, like, a little girl. That's the only point in this character where they give her character development. The rest is no character development, no emotion, no nothing. And it makes her unlikable for me. I wish they would have given us a little more backstory at the beginning to make me like this character more throughout the movie.
Yeah. I kind of like how they did it because I do like movies that do that. Like, they don't give you the full details until, like, towards the very end of the movie. I like how all you know is that she doesn't like Gene Hackman at the beginning of the movie for some reason.
Yeah, you can tell as soon as he walks in the bar, she's staring daggers into him. Yeah.
And it just slowly reveals what's going on. Oh, he had something to do with her town burning down or something.
Yep.
And then it goes on, he hung her dad, and then it was the town that they're currently in right now.
Yep.
And then, he made her shoot her dad in the face.
Yeah. And that's another actor they did not use. I can't remember his name. The guy who plays her dad.
Oh, Gary Sinise.
Yes. Another great actor they underused. Just like Tobin Bell, just threw them away. That's one thing I do want to talk about real quick. This movie has a freaking all-star cast.
Yeah, it got
Keith David, Leonardo DiCaprio, Gene Hackman. What's the woman's name? The main character woman.
I can't forget.
Something Stone.
Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone. Like I said, Tobin Bell.
It's star-studded for sure.
It had all the ingredients to be a perfect movie, but you can't overlook the littlest bad things for me. I can overlook more than you can, I feel like.
In this movie, probably.
Yeah, in this movie, yeah. All right. The kid character, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, I loved his character. The scene where his dad's the one to put him down. So, like, in the movie, Leonardo DiCaprio plays Gene Hackman's son, but he is convinced he has to prove that he is better than his father.
Yeah.
And he challenges him in the quick draw contest.
That is something I do like about this movie is, like, it does give character development to a lot of the characters yep. within this movie.
All but the main character until the very end.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's supposed to be like a mystery. Like, why is she doing this?
Like, I didn't like it. But no, I liked how, like, even Russell Crowe's character, because Russell Crowe is in this too.
Yeah.
As the preacher, like, the fact that he will not touch a gun anymore because Gene Hackman basically done the same thing to him that he done to Sharon Stone's character. He put a gun to his head and was like, "You're going to kill this preacher, or I'm going to kill you."
Yeah.
And he ended up having to kill a preacher, so he was convinced he would never use violence again. And then he forced him to join the quick draw contest. Great. I mean, it was just a great movie all around. The tournament, the quick draw tournament, I like how you didn't have to kill him. You could shoot him in the leg, just shoot him to where they give up. And then, like, right when he starts to get worried, he's like, "Nope, you got to kill him."
Yeah.
You got to make sure they're dead.
Yeah, it is very clear throughout this movie that Gene Hackman runs this town and this competition.
Yeah. He is the dude everyone's afraid of.
Yeah.
Except
Sharon Stone.
Except for Sharon Stone. That at the end of the movie, this is the stupidest scene in the movie. The end of the movie when she finally does shoot him. The hole in his chest.
That's what I'm talking about. Unrealistic stuff.
Like, you just see the sun shining in his shadow.
Yeah, I know. You don't know how much I shook my head at that scene.
I rewinded it 3 times. Like, this can't be what I'm watching. Like,
yeah. I thought it was, like, the funniest thing ever when him and Russell Crowe was getting ready to do their quick draw. And a building exploded.
Yeah.
And he just got right back up and tried to shoot him again. Yeah. Another building. Like, he did not stop trying to shoot Russell Crowe. That was all he was focused on. He's like, "I'm killing him
today." He didn't care about none of these buildings.
No. His house. Yeah. The store.
This woman really said, "Hey, man, I know your town is under, like, a dictator's rule, but F your business."
Yeah.
Like, "Let me just blow up some businesses here so you'll never make a living again." Yeah. Like, "I know I'm going to kill your dictator, but you're never going to be able to make another penny." Yeah. It was funny.
You just move on.
You just got to move to the next town.
Move along, little doggy.
And then, not even that, though. After she shoots a hole in him, but she shoots him again, he does a freaking backflip.
Yeah.
Like, she shoots him and he just backflips. What? Yeah. Like, there's no way a gun, like a pistol, is going to make him do a back. That's so stupid. No,
that's what I'm talking about. Like, I feel like somebody else should have directed that movie because Sam Raimi is one for effects.
Yep.
I
did like how she shot that guy in the, like, in between the legs. Like, right. That was one of the better scenes. I really enjoyed this movie. I'm a lot higher on than what you are. I love westerns in general, so they're always.
I'm not saying I dislike this movie. I just feel like it could have been more realistic. Like, it was too realistic of a movie to be as unrealistic as it was. Is my main gripe with it.
You got a point there. You're cooking there. So which one are you going to move on to next? Unforgiven or Josie Wells?
All right. We can. Which I will do Unforgiven.
Unforgiven? Okay. So this was my favorite one that we reviewed.
Yep.
So you give me your rating first.
4 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5. Not perfect, but daggone, it was near it.
Yeah.
So this movie follows Clint Eastwood. He, took me a minute. His wife's died. It's just him and his kids living on this farm. Yep. He gets an offer from this young boy to come and kill these 2 cowboys who roughed up this prostitute. They cut her face up real good, and he says no at first, but then realizes he needs the money, goes and gets his friend, who's played by Morgan Freeman, and they go to kill these cowboys.
Yep.
And the sheriff in the town is played by
none other than Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, and he is the real villain in this movie.
I would call him a villain.
I would call him a villain. Why? How can you give me a reason he's not a villain?
He's just trying to protect his town.
No, he let two women-beaten cowboys run off when he could have punished them. He should have hung the one. Like, they took a knife and cut this girl's face up.
He should, like, I will say that he definitely should have done something about that. But, however, I blame the whorehouse guy or whatever, the guy who runs the whorehouse, I blame him more than I do Gene Hackman for that. Because Gene Hackman was going to whip him until he spoke up. Like, yeah, no, he didn't. I can't make no more money off her. Ain't nobody going to want to touch her after what they did. I want some horses. And when all the women tried to speak up about it, he told them to shut up. And Gene Hackman, well, they wasn't saying nothing, so Gene Hackman just went along with his word.
No, I okay, yeah, maybe the real villain is the whorehouse keeper.
He is. I didn't like him.
Yeah, no, I didn't like him either. The story in this is amazing.
Yeah, it is a really good story.
The pacing in this movie is great. I think the pacing from the beginning to the end. So, in the beginning of the movie, like, it starts off strong. Tells you what this movie's going to be about. It shows right from the get-go the woman getting her face slashed up. But it leaves you... So, my biggest concern with the next movie we got to review was that whenever you're watching it, it takes, like, big, long action and then big, long, like, character development scenes. This one did not do that. It was, like, action, a little bit of character development, action, a little bit of character development, like, back and forth. And that's what made the... Like, that's why I'm saying the pacing for this was great. Like, you see these characters in action, and then you care enough about them to whenever they're... The next time they're in action, you don't want them to die.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah. All right, so first thing, I hated English Bob more than any other character.
I did too. I hate him, yeah.
I hated him more than any other character. I am so glad that Gene Hackman, you know, just roughed him up.
Beat the absolute tar out of him.
Yeah, I just wish he had killed him.
Just send him on his way.
Yeah. No,
I like when he goes in there, he tells about, like, how he was lying about all his, like...
Yeah. I want to explain why I hate English Bob. If you've never seen this movie, English Bob is an English man who's constantly just going on... this movie takes place in America, and he's just constantly going on about how... England is so much better than America. How nobody could try to assassinate a king or a queen because they'd just shake and drop their gun at the side.
When they see all the royalty.
Yeah, when they see the majesty of royalty. Yeah. And he's just constantly going on about that. And he said, and a president, he says, who could shoot royalty but a president? Why not shoot a president? Talking about Abraham Lincoln getting assassinated, I was like, okay, I don't like this guy.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, he became a very hateable character really quick. Like, I agree with that. The scene where Clint Eastwood struggled to get on his horse, so freaking funny. Like, I laughed harder than what I should have at that. Like,
yeah. The whole thing I liked about it is, like, it's... I like movies that kind of, like, not sequels. I don't like sequels that show degrading characters in old age. But I like movies about old men who used to be outlaws and whatnot like that.
So you just like Clint Eastwood movies?
Well, that's not every Clint Eastwood
movie. It's most of them. No, they're not.
How many Clint Eastwood movies have you seen?
Okay, out of the ones that I have seen, that's like 50% of them.
Okay. Name them.
Unforgiven. Josie Wales.
Okay, he's not old. He becomes a badass in that movie.
He's not old in Josie Wales.
Huh?
He's not old in Josie Wales.
No.
He seems a little old.
He's like in his 30s.
I don't think he's... Well, it could be the time.
And he wasn't an outlaw before any of that stuff happened. We'll get into Josie Wales, but next movie.
Gran Torino. He wasn't an outlaw, but he was like an old bad dude who was in the war. Like, and that's all the, and I've only seen like two other Clint Eastwood movies.
Yeah. Out of the many others that he's made. Don't you talk down about Clint Eastwood.
I'm not talking down about, listen, I will say this before we move on. When we started reviewing Clint Eastwood, I think it was last episode, the episode before last, when we did Every Which Way But Loose, I said from the get-go, I was like, Clint Eastwood's not my favorite actor. I'm not really big on him. After seeing more of his movies, he is starting to be one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he's great.
Like, he's a bad dude in all his movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're going to be reviewing a lot more Clint Eastwood, I think.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Anyway, go on. We're getting off topic.
I loved Gene Hackman's character in this movie because he, like, again, like, this whole movie is just about old dudes who used to be big gunslingers and outlaws.
Yeah.
And
like when at the end when he's like, he says, "You're the killer of women and children." He's like, "I've killed women, children, and everything that's crawled."
Yeah.
Like, it's like, bro, like, that was a hard line. Like,
yeah. Clint Eastwood said that. My favorite thing with Gene Hackman was when he messed up English Bob.
Yep.
That was my favorite thing about it.
One of my favorite things about this movie overall is the relationship between Morgan Freeman and Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Another great example of great actors with great chemistry.
Yeah. They're old
you feel
riding
like,
buddies.
You feel like they're old gunslinger-like friends.
Yeah.
Like, you feel that. And again, you can only do that whenever actors have good chemistry.
Yeah. Clint Eastwood's character, Will. Different times, I know. He just left his 7-year-old son to take care of his daughter.
he was like, "I'll be back in 2 weeks." It's like, wait a minute. Like, yeah,
you get them hogs moved to the other side of the pen. I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's like, what? Like, this kid's 7.
Yeah. Different times. I understand that.
Right.
Still
a little weird.
Yeah. And if you guys get hungry, just kill one of them chickens out there.
That's legit what he says. Like, y'all get hungry, just kill them chickens. Like,
yeah.
What? I agree. That was funny. I will say this, too. Nobody in this movie can aim. Like, not a single soul in this movie can aim. The young kid can't aim. Clint Eastwood can't really aim. Morgan Freeman won't take a shot, so we don't know if he can aim. The final scene where he walks into the bar to shoot, you know, Gene Hackman, he is maybe 2 feet from these people, and they're, like, shooting at him, missing.
Yeah.
Like, no one in this movie can aim.
Yeah, no. Nobody in this movie can aim.
It's so funny.
There's two more characters that I did not like, and the first one I'll go over is the Schofield kid.
I hated him.
The kid that showed up to offer Clint Eastwood that job. I didn't like him from the beginning. He just seemed like a cocky little butthole.
I said way too cocky, too arrogant.
Really. Yeah. And any time he talked about how he is an outlaw back in his hometown, I was like,
"I've killed 5 people."
Yeah. I was like, "No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You're lying about all this."
Yeah.
You just wanted an experienced person to help you with your first job.
Yep.
Like, I knew that through the whole movie. And then when he's riding with Morgan Freeman, he said, "You see that bird up there?" "Yeah." And he said, I bet you I could hit that bird from here with that rifle about 200 feet in the air." He said, "Yeah, I bet you I could hit it 2 or 3 times before I hit the ground." He said, "There's no bird in the air. You can't see."
I can
see plenty good. "How far can you see?" 100 feet. He said, "I can see, what, 50 feet? And then he just shut up. "He can't see, Will. We're going to ride with somebody that can't see."
Because when they first come up on him, he takes a few shots at him and completely misses.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny. He's like, and whenever him and Clint Eastwood are riding, he's like, "So I'm going to spot him," and he's like, "You're going to spot him, and then what?" He's like, "Well, then I figured I'm going to ride up on him and shoot him." Like, it's so funny.
Yeah.
The ending of this movie was cold. I mean, cold. Like, showed Clint Eastwood being from, like, the... Like, he was on the verge of death in this movie.
Yeah.
Comes back, and they kill Morgan Freeman's character.
Yeah.
He gives up. He figures out he can't pull the trigger on nobody no more. He wants to go home. So he goes home. They catch him halfway home, bring him back, kill him, string him up in a town, in a coffin. And
they say this is what happens to assassins.
Yep. And so Clint Eastwood's like, he don't know this, but he's killed the two cowboys. The woman comes out to give him his reward. And he's like, I'm going to split this with so-and-so. And she says, I thought you knew he's dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, do what? And so, like, he just get, like, the rain in this scene, too, sets the tone.
Yeah.
For joking, time is over. I'm going to go in here and kill everyone who has a gun.
But before we get into that, I want to go over something with the Schofield kid.
Okay.
I absolutely died laughing when he killed the second cowboy.
Yep.
Because when he killed the second cowboy and he's shaking as bad as he was, I knew that, like, I'd been thinking the entire movie, like, he ain't killed nobody. But when he started to kill that cowboy, I was like, okay, he's never killed a soul in his life.
He hesitated.
He caught him in the outhouse and shot him three times. And then when they went to the rendezvous point to get the money, they're sitting there drinking whiskey, and Clint Eastwood was sitting there calm as a cucumber, and he's just talking away about it. He said, yeah, I killed him. I lied to you, Will. I ain't never killed a soul in my life. That was my first one. And he chuckled a little bit and he said, I killed him. Three shots and he was taking a shit. Just started crying.
Yes. That was funny. I knew too. I knew he didn't kill nobody. Because if you killed somebody, you're not going to be bragging about it. Like, I killed five people. That was funny. I didn't like that character, but I think that scene really didn't redeem him for me, but made him a better character for me. Because he was like, I'm giving this up. I ain't doing this no more.
He's like, immediately, I don't want to do this. Yeah. I'm done.
So they didn't redeem him fully, but it made him a better character.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the ending. Can we talk about the ending now? Or you got more?
One more. Okay, go for it. The head whore. Yep. The woman right under the tavern keeper. This all could have been avoided.
Yep.
Had she just let the other cowboy give the woman his partner cut up a horse. Like, that was that. I feel like that was fair payment.
It's fair payment,
especially back then.
Right.
Like, he was trying to make amends with that.
Right.
And it was a beautiful horse. Like, it was a good horse. He said it was his best horse he had.
Yeah, and he didn't have to bring three, but he brought three.
Yeah. And he tries to give her that horse, and I think she didn't want her to have the horse. I think that was the only reason the head whore ran him off was because she didn't want that other girl to have the horse. Because for some reason, she wanted to take matters into her own hands. Like, she said, no, get that mangy horse out of here. It ain't mangy, man. No.
He didn't deserve to die.
No, I don't think he did either. He was just there for a good time, and his buddy started cutting women up.
Yep. And he got roped in with them because he was his friend. Like,
yeah.
No, he definitely did not deserve what he got.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and she and the head whore didn't have to, like, everybody give me all your money so we can pay bounty hunters to come get them.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole reason all this went down. Ned would have never had to die.
Yeah. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah, you're right, Ned. 100%. Yeah, I agree. She may be the real villain of this movie.
I thought it was kind of funny that the Schofield kid and Ned was taking advanced payments up front.
She said, they've been taking advanced payments on that. And he's like, advanced payments? Free ones.
Yeah, free ones.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we can go ahead with the last part of the movie.
Right, so the ending, whenever he walks into town and it's raining, sets the tone. Like, you know, it's no nonsense. This is game over. He's coming to kill everyone. And the way he just so cold, so nonchalantly walks into this bar and just has his double barrel and just slowly brings it down. It's like, who owns this place? Nobody says nothing. He finally gets the barkeep to come up and he just blows him away.
Yeah.
Like that.
I was so glad that character died.
Yeah. And then, like I said, everyone starts shooting at him. No one can aim. Like,
no, when he killed the barkeep, what'd you kill him for? He didn't do nothing. He said, that's for stringing up my dead friend outside his place.
Yep. And he finally does get, and so, because they can't aim, he finally kills everyone. I love whenever the reporter guy is like, asks him, like, well, who'd you kill first? Who'd you go for second? He says, can't tell you, but I'll tell you who's going to go last if you don't get moving.
Yeah. And I noticed the scene error during the big shootout at the end in the bar. So while he's shooting at people, it's not a main character. It's not a significant character. It's just one of the side characters. Sitting there shooting at him. And those squib loads that the actors wear when they get shot and that explodes, it went off. And he was just sitting there like, yeah, still shooting after it went off. And then he looked down and he goes,
just falls back.
Yeah, just falls back.
I'll just be dead. Yeah, that's funny. And then him yelling as he exits the bar.
Yeah.
That was cold, too. He's like, anyone takes a shot at me, I'm going to kill you, your wife, your children. Like, he's like, anyone takes a shot at me. Yeah.
I thought Gene Hackman was going to get him right there at the end.
I did, too.
I thought Gene Hackman, because when Gene Hackman started moving around, I was like, oh, God, he's going to get him. No, please don't get him.
A lot of Westerns and old movies, like, they'll have that, like, where the bad guy gets one good shot on him, and they don't die right then, but they die later on in the movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like that. They're going to shoot him, he'll turn around, shoot Gene Hackman, finally kill him, and then he'll just go off somewhere and die.
I feel like it had a good ending. But it
definitely did.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cold scene when he just said, anybody tries to mess with me, I'm going to kill you, your wife, your family. I'll burn this whole town down.
Yeah. Like, and whenever he walks outside, somebody aims a gun at him, and they believe him.
Yeah. He doesn't even see him. They just, no, you take the shot.
Yeah. They're like handing the rifle back and forth. He says, I ain't no lawman. He's like, it's so funny. Yeah. Because they know, like, he was serious.
Yeah. I expected him to take Ned with him and take him back to his wife. Too. But then he's like, you all better give Ned a proper burial because I'm going to come back and check or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I expect him to take Ned with him, but, you know, I understand why he couldn't.
Yeah. At the beginning of the movie, it does like a little paragraph intro.
About his wife dying.
Yeah. Her mother was mad that she had married
an outlaw.
Yeah, an outlaw or something like that. And her mother expected that.
She had multiple people asking to marry her, and she expected that she'd marry someone better.
Yeah, and then she thought that Clint Eastwood was really the one that killed her.
Yeah,
but she died of a small fever.
Yeah,
this whole movie is basically about Clint Eastwood not trying to slip into his old ways.
And he's slipping into his old ways.
He slips right back into his old ways there at the end, but. I feel like he stopped it right at the, like,
before he went too far gone.
Yeah. I feel like he stopped. He got revenge for Ned, and he made it back to his kids, and that was a good ending. Because at the end of the movie, it says, it never shows the mom at all.
Yeah.
It never shows his wife's mom at all. But it says that she comes to visit, and Ned and the kids are all gone.
San Francisco?
Not Ned, but Clint Eastwood's character. Yeah. They're all gone in San Francisco, saying that he's a successful trader or whatnot.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know that.
Yep.
And she still has no idea how her daughter died.
Yep. Overall, good movie, and the ending was solid. I really enjoyed this one. My favorite one that we chose, or favorite one that we reviewed. 4.5 out of 5?
Yeah. 4 out of 5.
So now we go to your favorite.
Yeah. The Outlaw Josie Wales.
I'm going to go ahead and say before we start, this would have been my favorite, but the second half drug for me. So.
Okay.
But before we start, rate it.
All right. So I gave it a perfect 5 out of 5. Like I've said in previous episodes, for me to get a 5 out of 5, it has to make me want to buy merchandise. Would like to buy merchandise for this movie.
Know what to get him for Christmas. No,
a Gatling gun.
But since it was your favorite, you go right ahead. Start us off.
Like most Westerns, especially Clint Eastwood movies.
Should we give a rundown first what the movie's about? I figure we should do this for every movie now.
Yeah. The Outlaw Josie Wales follows Clint Eastwood. Right in the beginning of the movie, his family gets killed by a group of red leg Union soldiers and a group of I believe Confederate soldiers come up and ask him, hey, you want to come help us hunt these guys down? Does a quick montage of them hunting some of them down. They
time jumps a few years.
Yeah, it time jumps a few years. And then during the Civil War. And then their entire group decides to turn themselves in and swear loyalty to the Union. Mm-hmm. And the United States. But Josie Wells is the only one not to do it. So, turns out that the United States was planning on betraying them. And
they turn themselves in, they just get mowed down.
Yeah, they get mowed down. Josie Wells comes in and saves one of them, sort of. And
jumps on the Gatling gun and goes to work. Yeah.
Goes to work on the Gatling gun.
I will say this before we get into
it. And then the rest of the movie is just him running from the Union while also trying to get revenge on the main guy that killed his family.
Yep. I will say before we start that I lost my complete train of thought. I was going to say something important about this. Go ahead. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, but like I said, very quick start within the movie. Like,
oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, right when it started, I even texted you about 20 minutes in this movie and said, this might be one of the best Westerns I've ever seen right behind Tombstone. Yeah.
Like, it jumps straight into what's going on.
Yep.
Like, why he's doing what he's doing.
Waste no time on setup, which is fantastic, sweet, to the point, tells you right away.
Yeah. A scene I really liked was when at the beginning of the movie, after the montage and everything, when they betray the Confederate soldiers, he comes in to try and help save them, and he just jumps on the Gatling gun and starts mowing all of them down.
Yeah. And it was a scene that, like, you know he's out there watching. Like, he's watching them turn themselves in. He sees his friends start to get killed, and he's like, got to do something. And he jumps on that Gatling gun and just goes to work. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really good scene. The betrayal scene was great.
His captain, the captain of his crew, tried to help hunt him after that.
Yeah.
Because he'd sworn loyalty to the Union.
Right. When they find out Josie Wells is still out there, they send a group of Union guys to track him down. And in that group, it has the guy who killed his wife and kids.
Yeah.
And it also has his previous commander from the Confederate soldiers he was with. And so these two guys are tasked with their group to try to find him. And they're tracking him all over the country.
Yeah. Something I like about this movie is he just constantly keeps picking up people along the way.
That's one thing I didn't like about the movie.
You didn't like that?
I didn't like how many new characters it introduced every 15 freaking minutes. Like,
I love that.
No, dude. Give me some set characters. Give me some character development. Let me like these characters. Don't give me random characters going to last 15 minutes of this movie and go on.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all. Like,
okay, you didn't like any of the characters it brought in that he tagged along?
I like the old Indian guy. Chief
Dan. I love Chief Dan. He cracked me up.
He was funny, yeah. I thought only an Indian could sneak up on me.
He said, I thought it was impossible to sneak up on an Indian. We are called civilized Indians. We are called civilized because the white man can sneak up on us.
And then when he sneaks up on him, he's like, what did he say? Only an Indian can sneak up on you?
Yeah.
And he's like, I thought so. And then he has a female Indian behind him with a gun. It was like at the meme with the setting the church views with a gun. Yeah.
Now, one of my favorite things about this entire movie is how he just keeps on spitting on things.
Yeah. Like, I don't think there's a scene in the whole movie where he doesn't have tobacco in his mouth.
Yeah.
He spits on everything. Just cockroaches, boots, people's forehead.
The first guy he spits on, though, is that salesman all dressed in white, and he's trying to sell him one of those tonics. And he's like, it cures all this, it does all that. And he just looks at him and says, how is it for stains? Spits right on him.
I do love that. And the tonic salesman, like how he was reoccurring because him and the Indians conversation where he's like, it cures this and this. And the Indian's like, what's in it? He's like, I don't really know. I just sell it. He says, you drink it.
He's just like, they don't know what they're talking about. He's
just like, what? He's like, you'll drink it. It's so funny.
And then
this movie is so freaking quotable.
Yeah.
It has so many good quotes, like the "Don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining."
Yeah.
Or the bounty hunter one's like, it's like living ain't much, or
gotta make a living.
Yeah.
Gotta make dying a living. Ain't much of a living.
That's it. I messed that one up. Yeah. Yeah, so quotable. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
My biggest complaint of the movie is introduced too many characters.
Introduced too many characters.
In such little time. If you would have spent a significant amount of time making me like the characters, I wouldn't have had that big of a deal with it.
Yeah. My favorite character besides Josie Wells was Chieftain. Chief Dan.
Yep. He was a good character. He was the only character that didn't mind.
It was throughout the movie, he was trying to set it up like Clint Eastwood was going to get with the Indian girl.
And then he does. He puts his hand on her shoulders. They both turn around. I was like, something wrong?
He thought something was wrong with her. He got up in the middle of the night. He thought something was wrong with her. He taps her on the shoulder. And she turns up, and he's laying down there, not as old as I thought.
But first he's like, is something wrong? Yeah. He's like, no,
you keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that was funny. And the second half of this movie, the story kind of went everywhere.
It did.
Because he met that blonde-headed lady.
Yeah.
And when he meets her, the story kind of falls off for me.
Yeah.
It doesn't, the story has no foundation to go off on that after that. Like, it's, I don't know.
Well, it's... He's trying to get to Mexico so he can get away from the Union chasing him down. But along the way, he's starting to get attached to all these people he keeps picking up.
Right.
They decide to settle down, and he stays longer than he should.
Right.
And that shows because they show up right at the doorstep. Right. And again, like Clint Eastwood, he's just a badass in every movie he's in.
The scene where they're in the town and the guy's like talking to him is like, it's like, well, they're looking for Josie Wells. And he's like, you don't say. Like, they done the same thing in Young Guns. There's a scene where a guy's like, this is the pistol that's going to kill Billy the Kid. And he's talking to Billy the Kid. Like, it's basically the same thing. And he just walks out, and the guy's like, it's Josie Wells. And he turns and just looks at them Union guys. And it's just like, he has a thing of groceries. And he's like, just looking at them. Which one's going to draw first? Like,
What did he say? You gonna draw them pistols or what was it?
It's something like that. You, I can't remember what he said. He said some kind of cold line there too.
Yeah, but basically dared them out and then just drew on all of them.
Yeah, he dared them to draw and then he drew faster. Yeah, it was pretty dope. The villain, I know you're gonna sound crazy, but the villain wasn't that good for me. I get he kills his family. I get he did the most he can do to this character, but I don't think we saw the villain enough doing villain stuff to hate him. Like, don't get me wrong, we hate him, but I want to hate a villain more. Like, I want to see him doing villainous stuff through the whole movie for me to, whenever he does die, I'm like, he deserved every bit of that. You know what I mean? I still feel that way, but I could have felt that way more.
Yeah.
If I could have saw him like...
Okay. When the main villain dies, the main problem I have with the villain...
So anticlimactic.
It was. I thought what Clint Eastwood did was kind of cold. Like, he shows up with his empty pistols, and he's just backing him against the wall, clicking the triggers. Yeah. Click, 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 click. Gets his other guns. Click, click, click. However... Why did the villain not rush him?
Right. Right.
He has a sword.
Right.
He has a sword. Why did he not rush him?
No, I agree.
And then when he finally gets back to the wall and Clint Eastwood's like right up on him, he tries to pull the sword. And before he can even draw it out, he gets like right here and Clint Eastwood pulls it up a little bit more and makes him stab himself.
So anticlimactic. Like, this is the man who killed your family. Make him suffer. You know what I mean?
I do like how it ended. After the big fight, and
I like that too.
Yeah, he goes in there, and his friends are in there telling him, "Yeah, they shot Josie Wells. Yep. They killed him. He's dead."
They're basically telling the Texas Rangers,
Yeah, but it's also his...
His old commander.
Sitting there.
He's like, and he just walks in, he's like, is that so?
Yeah.
And he completely plays with it, and like, he's looking, he's staring daggers at Josie Wells, and he's like, well, I reckon, you know, we'll go looking for him in Mexico.
Yeah, there. He said, yeah, I don't believe Josie Wells is dead.
Yep.
I don't think six men could take down Josie Wells.
Yep.
He says, well, where are you going to go look for him? He said, I'm going to go down to Mexico. What are you going to do? He said, I'm going to try and get him to come back home. Tell him the war's over. And he's like, all right, you do that then. And they just both ride off in different directions.
Yeah. I like that ending too, because through the whole movie, his commanding officer, his old commanding officer, didn't want to do it.
It was like the Rambo movie.
Yeah.
His commander is like, don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what he's going to do. Don't do that. And they didn't want to listen to him.
Yeah, I agree that it really is just like that.
Yeah.
Because he's so reluctant to, like, help them because he's been fighting them for so many years. And then, like, but to keep his treaty, he has to help them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Solid 4 out of 5 for me. I really enjoyed it. I would have given it. I really wanted to give it a 5 out of 5. I enjoyed the first half so much. I thought it was going to be a perfect Western. I thought I was going to have it up there with Young Guns. Young Guns is my second favorite Western of all time. I thought I was going to have it over Tombstone, Young Guns. I don't
have it. Have you seen the second one of that?
Yeah. Fantastic film as well. We might review those.
I don't know how I feel about the second one. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. But
next week, it'll just be me. No. I'm good with this unless you want to say something else about it.
No, I'm good on it.
Okay, so next week we are going to be reviewing The Penguin. We don't review TV shows until all the episodes are out.
Yeah. Alright, so before we get into that, I want to go over our bet.
Okay.
So
tell the people.
Back in August, before we even started this podcast, I told Brian was trying to get me to watch Sopranos, and I said I didn't really feel like watching it. Mind you, I've watched it all now. I love it. Great show. However, I started watching it August 28th, and I had finished it by September 12th. And it's taken Brian... How far are you on Dragon Ball?
Maybe 20-some episodes deep.
What's the last thing you've seen?
I'm a few episodes past whenever the girl... I can't remember their names. The one who sneezes and changes her alter ego. Yeah. When Launch comes in, I'm a few episodes past that. They're starting training for that tournament.
Yeah. So, I traded him Dragon Ball for The Sopranos. Now, mind you, he's 40 episodes in... of this show that's 20 minutes apiece. And since he's taken so long, I've made a bet with him that he cannot finish it by just the original Dragon Ball series, not Dragon Ball Z or nothing like that, just Dragon Ball. I don't think he can finish it by Thanksgiving. So we're going to start a poll, and I want to see, or you guys can comment, tell me if you think he can finish it by Thanksgiving.
I'm doing my best. All right, like I can't. It's so hard for me to watch.
A lot of money on the line. $10.
$10. It's so hard for me to watch TV shows. I prefer movies over TV shows just because I like for my story to be wrapped up in 2 hours. But I'm doing my best. Like, all right. So,
do you think you're going to do it?
No, I don't think I'll be able to do it. Right. I'm trying though.
You got no faith in yourself.
I know. Yeah. I watch me do it, and then you'd pay me $10. But
I'll go double or nothing on Dragon Ball Z.
Will you accept that bet if I don't make it? But I had to finish Dragon Ball and Z for Christmas.
Before Christmas?
Yeah.
There's no way you can finish Dragon Ball Z and whatever you have left of Dragon Ball by Christmas.
No. Okay. Well, you can give me a reason. We'll discuss those details.
So we can go on what we'll review next.
Okay. So next week, we do not review TV shows unless all the episodes are out or all the episodes of that season are out. We'll do season by season. We won't do episode by episode.
Yep.
But next week, we will be reviewing The Penguin.
Yeah,
so I'm so excited about this. I knew we were going to start this next week, so I started the first episode. freaking amazing. Like,
yep.
But anyway,
since we're doing a TV show, we're only going to do one movie next week. Yep. If that's not enough content, we will try and provide more. However, the movie we're going to review next week is going to be The Beast Within.
Yep. Kit Harington, the werewolf movie. Yep.
Kit Harington's new werewolf movie.
So we're going to discuss Kit Harington's new werewolf movie plus The Penguin. And to add to the video, we're also going to be discussing TV shows in general.
Okay.
Because we haven't discussed TV shows yet. We need to talk about that.
Yeah.
We do have some killer shows that we would like to discuss. But, yeah, that's all for me. And then in a couple weeks, we'll be reviewing Red One and Gladiator 2, all movies I'm looking forward to. All
right. So we will see you guys next week. Like, comment, and subscribe.
Link just for our Letterboxd, like you said, in the description. That's Dylan. I'm Brian. Out.